As always, we encourage you to stick around, keep chatting with people after the service. And if you don't have kids and you don't know parents, I just encourage you, you can also make your way down the hall to hang out with people who are in that hallway as well. So those are other people there who are as another area. Well, Happy New Year for everyone, in case you haven't said Happy New Year to some of the people, and we're glad that you're with us. We're starting a new series this year. One of the things at this time of year is that this is when a lot of people make New Year's resolutions. You're thinking of things that you want to see happen. And if we're honest, a lot of us want to be more like Jesus, and we want to change. And so we're going to be doing a series to start this year called Rhythms of Grace, and taking a look at how Jesus invites us to come and learn from him how to live and how to change and how to become more like him. And so we're going to be looking at what that looks like as we look at what those rhythms of grace are and in this new series to start the year this week. Tired in life. I know many of you probably took vacations. If your vacations are anything like my vacations are, often you get back from your vacation wanting a vacation from your vacation because you're still tired. And you're kind of like, how is that possible? And it's just, you don't know what to do with yourself, especially if you travel, especially if you go overseas. I remember as a kid, when I was about five, and we were. With it, because I think it's one of the first times I can remember anyway, dealing with jet lag, and was so tired, and it was still like daytime, but I remember just kind of walking in like this tired fog, not knowing what to do, and then we had a playroom, and there was a soccer ball on the floor, and I remember thinking, that looks very comfortable right now, and I actually laid down on the like hard floor, put my head on the soccer ball, and proceeded to fall asleep for like 2 hours. And I woke up with a horrible crick in my neck and was like, what happened? And my parents had said, your friends kept asking for you, but you were like out for 2 hours, so I just let it be because I just needed some rest. And so that soccer ball looked really, really good. And I don't know about you guys, but there are times when that's just what it is. A soccer ball looks great because you just really, really need rest. But no matter how often we get some good sleep, often our lives just are so busy and so chaotic that we don't ever seem to be able to catch up on rest. We don't ever be able to seem to get and live in rest. And so today I want us to take a look at how do we live a life of rest? Well, we're not needing constant vacations or constant things to try and replenish rest, but that we're constantly in a place of rest. And so we're going to take a kind of look at the secret of a life of rest from Matthew chapter 11, starting in verse 25. So in Matthew 11, verse 25, that's where we're going to be. I'm going to read this for us. This is what the Word of God says. At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding, and reveal them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. This portion of passage here that starts off by Jesus saying, thank you, God, that you have made the things of God not understandable. You've hidden them from those who think they are wise here on earth. that you've actually made it available to those like children, and only to those like children, and only to those that Jesus himself reveals. And so what this is implying here is that there is an earthly wisdom that people think is wise, and everybody around us will say, this is how you should live your life. This is how you get ahead. This is what it means to be smart and wise and good and all of those things and successful. That there is a wisdom that exists on earth that people will attest to and say, yes, that is how you should do things. And yet Jesus is saying that those who are very wise in that way, that the things of God have been hidden from them. And that Jesus is saying there is this wisdom that comes from God and who God is that is available. But not just because if you can get out there and find it somewhere. No, it's available, but it's available to those who come to Jesus. It's available to those who Jesus reveals himself to. And so there's a different kind of wisdom. And so then Jesus says, after he kind of explains that, says, look, I have a wisdom that only comes from me. He says to people, come to me, all who are burdened, heavy laden. That idea there is like completely exhausted, right? The idea is that you are so burdened, you have so much on you that you are just like at your wit's end. You couldn't go another step. You are completely and totally worn out. You can no longer carry the burdens of your life. And Jesus is saying, come to me. Come to me and I will give you rest. Doesn't that sound really good? I mean, when I hear that and I receive that, and I'm like, oh, wow, yes. If I am really tired, if I've been so busy and my life is so full and I'm sitting here and I'm going, wow, I just need some rest. Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. And that is great and it sounds good and God will do that and we can come and look to him. The sad reality is that for many of us, when we are just completely and totally exhausted and we don't feel like we can take another step, we can't carry the burdens anymore, if we're honest, do we come to Jesus? I think sometimes yes, but I think often when we're really exhausted, our first thought is, man, I need a vacation. I need to just, you know, get out and take a drive or whatever it is that relaxes you. We're like, that's what I need to do. That's where our mind first goes is, man, I need to get something restful in my life. But the reality is if you're really burdened and your heart is troubled and you just can't seem to find rest for your soul, that nothing out there is going to satisfy. Nothing out there is going to really give you the rest you need. Yeah, you might relax a little in the era of, you know, streaming television that just keeps having more and more streaming options for all of us. Binging TV is something we all and generally like to do. So when we're like, man, I'm so just beat, I want to veg out, it's easy just to be like, wow, 6 hours of television has just happened, and yeah, my body is rested, right? But isn't it fascinating how after 6 hours of TV, you don't really feel in your guts, in your being, more rested? Sure, your body might be rested, but there's more to it than that. There's more to rest than just resting your body. And if your whole being needs to find rest, there is only one place to find it, and that is in Christ. And so he says, come to me so that you might find rest. And I think people who are listening at that time are thinking, great, yes, I'm going to come to you. I'm going to find rest. But then what's interesting is the next portion that he says here. He says, take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I have a picture here, in case you're not familiar, if you can put that up for me. This is a yoke. If you were like me as I was kind of growing up, often we read things in the Bible, and if you don't entirely know what it means, often you just kind of skip over it and think, well, I get the general gist, right? Like, we're going to have rest. But when Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, this is kind of the image that the people he's speaking to would have, because yokes were common back then. This is like for an ox, but basically what it is the ox's head goes through the little loop part there. And the reason they have a yoke is that the yoke gets attached. They put that on the animal so that they can attach a burden to the animal, usually something like a plow or a wagon, something that's really heavy for them to pull and to work. And so a yoke was actually more of a symbol of work, of labor, even of like being subjected to somebody else's will, to be attached to somebody else, to be almost owned by somebody else. So the yoke would have had that in their minds. And remember, Jesus is speaking to them, so he uses this metaphor of a yoke because they understood it. So if you're thinking like the people he's speaking to, he's saying, come to me. If you're tired and weary and you're heavy laden and you're laboring and it's so difficult and hard, he says, come and I'll give you rest. And I'll give you rest by you putting my yoke on you. And I think there must have been at least a few who are saying, wait, what? How am I going to find rest by putting an instrument of labor and work on myself? How is that going to give me rest by putting a yoke on? Because the whole purpose of a yoke is to pull a burden. And so Jesus is sitting here and he's saying, yes, come find rest, but then come and learn from me as you put my yoke upon you and you pull my burden. And he says it, why? He says, why? Because I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's what he says. But you got to picture this. This is saying, okay, if I really want to experience rest that you're saying is rest for my soul, I have to put your yoke on and pull your burden. That's what Jesus is saying here. He says, if you want that rest for your soul that doesn't go away, that's always there, that goes to the deepest part of your being so that no matter what is going on around you, you can have a life of rest, you must put on his yoke and carry his burden. See, now all of a sudden it's like, I don't know if I like this passage so much. Because sure, it sounds nice as I think about it, but this is an instrument of even subjugating your will. It's an idea of saying, you know what? I will pull your burdens, not burdens that I choose. See, the reality is we might balk at the idea of yoke because you're saying, I don't want any yoke. But the reality is whatever we choose to serve or pursue in our life comes with a yoke. So if you want to be like the next best CEO in a rising company, great, sure, that's not bad. You can be that person. You can go on that. But in order to get there are so many things and, you know, hoops you're going to have to jump through, hours of work you're going to have to do, meetings you're going to have, things you will have to sacrifice, all this kind of stuff. And so you will have to carry the burdens of what it takes to attain the success of that job. And so in a sense, what you do is you put on you the yoke of best CEO of that job. And you carry all the burdens that come with trying to achieve that. If you're wanting to be the best parent, I want to be the best parent ever. I want to do all these amazing things for my kids. I want to, you know, see them be the most successful people and all these things. So you put that yoke and carry all those burdens of what it takes and whatever it means in your mind to be the best parent. Whatever it is that you are seeking for, whether that's wealth or influence or power or success or job security or whatever it is, if that is what you are seeking and doing, it comes with the yoke and burdens. And the reality is, most of us want the life that we've picked for ourselves. We want those things because they're good things usually. They're things that we have. Even as we sang earlier, there are dreams and desires. They're things that we want, and they're not necessarily bad. But to attain them, there are burdens that come with them. And I want to say, I think honestly, most of the time, we get worn out because we're pursuing these dreams and desires, and we're pursuing things that God maybe hasn't asked us to pursue. And those dreams that we're pulling, the burdens that come with them are more than we can handle. And they wear us out. And they burden us beyond what we can handle. But we're attached to it. We're attached to those things. Because we've decided, this is my life. This is what I want. This is who I want to be. And this is what it, this is the price tag. This is what it comes with it. This is what it means. If I want to be that successful, then I have to put in those hours and be that busy and work that much, because otherwise I won't get the job I really want or keep the job I really want. But it wears on us. But Jesus is saying, there's another way. He's saying, there's another way. If you want rest for your souls, come to me, learn from me, take my yoke upon you, and carry my burden. So I think part of what this is when you have the yoke, they tell the, you know, the ox who is pulling where it goes, how it goes, what it's pulling, when it's pulling. I think part of what Jesus is saying here is, come submit your life to me. Let me be first in your life. Let me be the one who tells you where you go and when you go, what you pursue, what you don't pursue, what burdens you do carry, and which ones you say no to. And you will find rest for your soul. Because if we're carrying the burdens that He has designed for us, He's always going to be enough for us. He's not going to give us more than we can handle. But it requires us to say yes to Him and no to the other things. Which a lot of times we sing songs like that. We might say that in conversation. But think about that for a moment, because it isn't just some cliche thing of I say yes to no and I say yes to God and say no to something else. This is, we're literally talking about your life here. We're talking about you saying, you know what, I've had a dream and a goal in my life to achieve this thing, whatever that may be, a job, relationship, family, whatever it is for you, that thing that you're going, that's what I've been dreaming for. And what we're saying is, you give that to God, and you say, God, even if that's not what you have for me, I will say yes to you. And I will allow what you want for me to be what I pursue. And I will let go of that dream, of that desire, because you are more than enough for me. That's a lot harder. If we're honest with ourselves, we struggle with that a lot. You might like to sing it, but to actually live that out practically is difficult. It also requires us to hear from the Lord, to come at His feet, to hear His Spirit, to hear what He's saying to us, and to learn from Him, as it says here, to say, this is the path that I have for you. This is the things that I have for you. These are the secrets of God and the wisdom of God that I have for you, that I want to teach you. I want to show you what your life could look like if you follow me, if you submit to me, if you give up your dreams, desires, and will, your plan, so that you can do my plan. And if you do those things, I'll give you what you need. Now, why would we do this? Jesus says it. He says, why? Because I'm gentle and lowly in heart. Because we know the character of Christ. Because He's good and He's loving. He's faithful and just and true. There is no one like our God. We know that He died for us, took the punishment of our sin upon Himself, and rose again that we might be have everlasting life, to experience life forever with God. This is the God that is saying, trust in me. Give up your way for my way, because my way is going to be better. It might not be what you thought. It might not be what you hoped for. It might not be what you wanted, but it will be better. And if you do that, you will have rest. You will have rest that goes deep. Your life doesn't necessarily mean it'll be easy. Remember, this is yoke here. This was not a, everything is going to be easy, but it is the life that God intended for you, the one he has for you, the one that he's supplying for you, the one that he's going to meet your needs and show up in powerful ways. But those who've said yes to God have often lived very difficult lives, hard lives, lives where people were martyred, lives where people lost everything that they thought they, you know, that they loved and cared for, but they still had Christ. But you know what's fascinating? If you look at some of the kind of spiritual heritage that we have as Christians, those who've come before, whether they were missionaries or just regular janitors or people that lost things for God, when you look at their stories, they always talk about having peace and being at rest. I remember reading so many stories when I was a kid in fifth grade. I remember I read like all these, they had like kid version biographies of missionaries. So I like read them like fast because they were like, you know, 50 pages. And so I just read a bunch of them, and I read all these stories. And so almost every single one of them sacrificed so many things. They lost children. They lost spouses. They lost, you know, houses. They lost job security and all these things. They got sick. All these horrible things happened to them. But every single one of these stories I read, and I must have read a dozen of them, all had the same theme, that all of them praised God, thanked God, and said how restful and peaceful their lives were, even though all these horrible things were going on. And it's because they got this principle. They had said yes to God's way. They had taken God's yoke upon themselves and pulled the burdens that God designed for them, and they had rest for their souls. Now, this is kind of an easy concept. We get it. I could say it again and again, but you get the concept. The question is, will we do it? Do you trust God enough to come to him and take his yoke upon you and say no to all the other things? All those dreams and desires, all those other things that are battling for your life, that you want your life to be, and most of them are probably good things. I'm not saying they're sinful. I'm just saying they might not be what God desires for you. Are you willing to lay them down, to take up his yoke, and to willingly put it on him? See, the beautiful picture here is this, is God doesn't put it on for you. He doesn't force his yoke on you. He says, come to me and place my yoke on. This is a thing where you voluntarily say, yes, I want Jesus' way, not my way. I submit myself to him. I give him my life. And say, God, I will do whatever you want for me. I will pull your burdens and not my burdens. That's hard, because we think we know better. I just want to share a silly illustration of how our will, we think we know best, but we often don't. At Christmas time, we have a family tradition to make my grandmother's sweet rolls, which are quite these evolved from scratch recipe sweet rolls that takes all of these steps to do all these things and takes quite a lot of process and time. And I was reading them, and one of the steps was something like, you have to like heat up milk to almost boiling, but not quite boiling, to then pour over butter to melt the butter. And I was reading this thinking, that sounds kind of convoluted. I'm not sure how to do that, but I guess I could try it. But then I was thinking, wait, if the point is just to melt the butter, why don't I just melt the butter and then put it in the thing and then pour the milk in? So me thinking, I got this, I know what I'm doing, this is, I'm going to be better, that's what I did. So I melted the butter, I poured the butter in, then I poured the milk in. And if any of you were actually kind of familiar with cooking at all, you realize this was really stupid because immediately things like started to curdle in there because the milk was cold and the butter was hot. So everything just started to like form these super gross clumps and everything started to get really disgusting. And I was like, wow, that was stupid. Now I know why they told me to do it the other way around, because I was thinking, what's the difference? I know what I'm doing. No, not at all. So I had to throw out all the stuff in the bowl, get it all over, start all over again, and do it exactly the way I had been told to do it, and then actually everything turned out okay. See, I think a lot of times we're like that. God gives us wisdom. He says, this is my plan for your life. And we go, no, God, I got something better. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. I'm going to do my thing. The sad reality is that for many of us, we won't say yes to God and stop doing our thing until we're at the end of our rope. We're beyond exhausted and weary, and we can't take another step. And so we'll come to God defeated, saying, God, what's going on? I'm so tired. I'm so weary. And God will once again come and say, come to me. I'll give you rest. Just take my yoke upon you, because I love you. Because my yoke is easy. My burden is light. My prayer for us this morning is that you won't wait till you're at the end of your rope. That you won't wait till you're beyond exhausted. Your life is falling apart and you can't seem to take one more step because your burdens are too heavy. My hope for you is that you will choose to start this year saying, God, I want your way. Because my way leads in disaster. Because my way leads to places I can't go. So I'll choose your way. Whatever it may be. Because your way is better. Your way is true. And his words are, come to me, and I will give you. Learn from me. Learn from me the things of God, the way of God that is different than the way the world presents. Say no to all these other things. Say yes to him, and you will live a life full of rest, full of peace, full of joy that only comes from Christ. I can promise you this, that as you truly submit to Christ, and take his yoke upon him and learn from him and walk with him and carry only the burdens that he has placed for you, that life of rest and peace and joy is yours. Not because I'm promising it, but because the scriptures, the word of God, over and over again, makes those promises to those who follow Christ. They're his words. So as we begin this year, especially as we continue with a series where we're focusing on what are the things, what are these rhythms of grace, what are these things that Jesus has said, this is the way I desire for you to live. This is the way that I desire you to make your life about. These are the things that we are to be about. You're going to have constant choices to say yes to his way or to choose your own. May we choose his way. Let's pray. God, we praise you and we thank you for who you are. I thank you, God, that you have said we can come to you. That all who are tired and weary, that anywhere, any part of our life that we are at, that we can come to you and you will give us rest. I thank you, God, that your yoke is easy and your burden is light. I thank you that you are trustworthy
that you love us.
I thank you that you are so good. I thank you that your way is better than our way. Just going to ask, we didn't plan for this, but Carl, I'm going to ask if we could sing as a response. Instead of just sitting here praying, I'd like us to sing part of that song that we just sang before. Because I think that song actually declares what we just heard from Jesus. And so, what I want to just encourage you, just even, you can sit where you're at, but as we sing some of this, I'd even just encourage you, if you're not at a place that you can say, I'm not going to lean on my understanding, I don't choose my own desires, then don't sing. It's okay. God knows where you're at. But if you're in a place today where you're saying, you know what, I do want to live this way. I do want to take God's yoke upon myself. I do want to only carry His burdens. Then let the words of this song be your prayer to God, your declaration to God, where you're declaring these truths, that you will not lean on your own understanding. You will not trust in your own dreams and desires, but you will choose God because, as that chorus or bridge or whatever it was says, there's nothing worth more than Him. So just as we sing this, make that your declaration and prayer, but do it if you mean it.